Love, there is a theme running through the music this morning. You just heard our amazing ensemble lift up all things bright and beautiful. Did you notice that to God there is no difference between that which is great and that which is small? All things bright, all things wise and wonderful, He made them all. Tiny little birds that fly and purple-headed mountains that rise, flowers that open to the sky and rivers that run to their end, does not matter whether they are great or small. Majestic sunsets and a bite out of ripened fruit. To God, according to the anthem, they are all the same. And the anthem ends with a reminder that this great God gives us eyes to see it all, that we might know, that we might have lips to tell, that God made all things, great and small, all things well. This theme of great and small is important, and it's crucial because small, as a matter of note, is not a matter of measure in how important something is. And that very theme is alive in our song this morning. For our visitors all summer long, we've been using songs as the second text to go along with the biblical text. And this morning's no difference. It starts with someone great. Tony Bennett, who has more Grammy Awards and more albums than I have hair. He just cut an album with Diana Krall, a great jazz singer. He turned 92 on Friday, and he is still touring. He will be at Ravinia soon. Great is Tony Bennett, but he sings this morning with someone who's considered pretty small. If you don't know Elmo, let me introduce you. He is a 3.5-year-old monster who does not age on a street called Sesame. This song that you're about to hear, sung in part by Tony, who is great, and Elmo, who is small, is just another sign of the comparison between great and small falling apart so that that which is true may come forward.
I believe in little things
like Elmo
that you can hardly see.
Yeah.
Like honeycombs and spider webs and starfish in the sea.
In the sea.
I believe in little things like icy drops of rain.
Bloop, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep.
That melt into a morning mist. Mm. When the winds blow warm again, I believe in little things like colors in the sky.
Pretty colors.
Noticing the waves roll in and how the flowers die.
Oh, that's sad.
Knowing they'll come back again whenever it's July.
Oh, good.
I believe in little things like you and me. And just how big little things can be.
That was very good. Now can Emma sing?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Come on, you sing it.
Okay.
Go to it.
Elmo believed in little things that you can hardly see, like honeycombs and spider webs and starfish in the sea.
I believe in little things,
little things,
like icy drops of rain,
bloop, 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 bleep, bleep,
that melt into a morning mist. Yeah. When the winds blow warm again.
Warm again.
I believe in little things like colors in the sky. and noticing the waves roll in, and how the flowers die, and knowing they'll come back again, whenever it's July. I believe in little things like you,
Mr. Bennett,
and me,
oh,
and just how big little things can be. Thank you, Elmo.
Great and small as comparisons have been with us since the beginning of time. But it didn't matter what was being sung or who was singing it. You heard the passion and you heard the love. It evens out little and big when we bring our best to whatever it is doing. And in God's eyes, doesn't matter little or big. It's what we bring to it. And that's exactly what's going on in those Hebrew Bible texts today. You see, during the Babylonian exile, the men and women of Israel had been carried far from Egypt. Babylon is so far away, they can't even imagine their home any longer. And when King Darius releases the Israelites from Babylonian exile, and when they make their way back to Jerusalem, what they find is a city that has been devastated. Their temple, their precious temple, has been torn down brick by brick. All of the vessels, all of the sacred things inside have been taken off and melted down in someone else's fire. And this place that God said he would live forever, where he would meet them, is gone. Gone. And in the midst of this, Zerubbabel is sent back by King Darius to lead the Israelites back to Jerusalem. And Zerubbabel, as you heard in the text that Kim so eloquently read, Zerubbabel decides he's going to build the temple again. And Ezra, who's chronicling all of this, says that the people, when the foundation was laid, the people shouted, but they didn't know what to believe. In the midst of the shout, Zechariah confirms, in the midst of the shout, there are shouts of joy, for the temple foundation has been laid, but there are also cries of pain, because this temple, this new temple, is nothing like Solomon's temple. This new temple is puny compared to what King Solomon had built. And those who were weeping in pain could not imagine worshiping in this hovel compared to what they had known. But Zechariah the prophet says to them, do not despise these small beginnings. For don't you know that God rejoices to see the work begun? In that moment, these small beginnings, in that moment, this temple that looked nothing like what they longed for, it was to be honored. For God said, this work has begun, and yes, it's small, and no, it doesn't look like what you remember, but do not despise this little thing, for out of it greatness shall come. If Elmo were with us, he would say the same thing. I believe in little things and just how big little things can be. Our culture, our environment does not prize the little. We want the great and the grand. No one wants to be called the little one. No one wants little muscles. No one wants to be the least and the left out and the last and the little. We all want to be grand. No one wants to have a little dream. We want big dreams. But this story from Israel's history reminds us, Elmo reminds us, the anthem reminds us, that little things have their place, and God is pleased when the work is begun, even if it's a little thing. And the same, I believe, is true in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Now, Paul in Rome spoke to kings and princes. Paul in Rome stood in the city square and held forth. Paul in Rome was known for his wisdom and his ability to deal with and discuss with the Stoics. But Paul also had dreams to go all over the then known world. Those are Paul's travels. He had big dreams to establish the church, big dreams to establish a movement, big dreams to transform the world into a culture that was willing to follow this one who was a peacemaker, willing to follow this one that said, love your enemies, willing to follow the one that says, you are in the center of God's heart. God loves you with an everlasting and a fierce love. Paul had visions of transforming the whole of the known world into a place that followed Christ. That's big. But when you turn to his letter to the church at Rome, and Paul's letter to the church at Rome, I've said this from this position before, Paul's letter to the church at Rome was his magnum opus. It was the letter that he wrote last that captured all of the themes in those other shorter letters. Paul's letter to the church at Rome was the one he sent to people who did not know him, and he wanted to communicate the fullness of what God had shown them. This man who is off to do great things teaches those who would follow him something altogether different. Did you hear what Kim read? When Paul begins to teach what he wants them to know, it's not the grand things. And in the Bible I used to study, the NRSV, the title of this section is called Marks of the True Christian. Paul is teaching what makes us truly Christian, and we might think it's the big things. We might think it's going out and tackling the world. We might think of Mother Teresa or Dorothy Day or Martin Luther King. We might think of the paragons of our religious faith. But look what Paul teaches, genuine love. Look what he teaches, outdo one another in showing honor. Don't lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve, rejoice, be patient. Persevere in suffering, contribute to the needs of the saints, and extend hospitality. Look what he teaches. Bless those who persecute. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony. Don't be stuck up. Associate with the lowly. Don't be a smarty pants. And he ends this section with, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, we want to do the great and grand things. But like Elmo said, I believe in little things and just how great they can be. What if you and I took this list from Romans 12 and put it on the refrigerator or put it on the bathroom mirror and every day chose one of that list from Romans 12, one little thing to do? What if my Monday was going to be to extend hospitality, and I woke up looking for ways to extend hospitality? What if my Tuesday was to look for someone that is maybe not my friend and even my enemy and extend graciousness? What if my Wednesday was to heap burning coals on somebody's head? Now, let me explain that one. In the ancient Near East, there are no trees. And so coal, something that burns, something that you can make a fire out, is worth its weight in gold. So if you give somebody coal, it's like giving them pure gold. You're giving them what you have in scarce supply so that they might have a fire and cook and do the things that you can only do with fire. So that heap burning coals upon their head is paying their ComEd bill for 6 months. That's what he's talking about. Beloved, what if that one little list from Romans 12 became the thing we cycled through all the days of our lives. Nobody is going to call you great if you choose to be humble. Nobody is going to call you great if you give away what you need. Nobody is going to call you great if you love your enemies and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Nobody's going to call you great except God. Because those are the little things. Those are the things about which Elmo is and Tony are singing. Those little things that become so great. Those little things that mark us as true Christians. And I am so clear in our biblical text, little things have great outcomes. Rahab is only trying to protect her family when she talks to Caleb and Joshua. But by Rahab's obedience to God, she becomes a progenitor in the line of Jesus. Shiphrah and Puah are midwives whom Pharaoh says, would you please kill the Israelite babies? And Shiphrah and Puah say, when we get there, they've had the babies already. They're too quick. We can't kill them. They make space for the Israelites to grow strong. Deborah is a judge who rightly judges, and we see that the world is changed in the book of Judges by her efforts alone. Esther stands her ground and saves her people. She's only trying to do what her uncle says. All of these, and I've just dealt with women in the Old Testament who've done little things, but each one of those little things builds towards something that those people could not imagine. But now we who read the entirety of the text understand the import of their little things and how it became something more than they could ask, think, or imagine. And beloved, the same is true about your and my little things. The question is, do we trust God with our small things? So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to have a ripple effect this week. I want to challenge you to cut out that little piece of text from Romans 12 and pick something at least 2 days this week. Pick something out of that list that's a little thing that you're going to seek to do in the world. And don't worry if you see the results or not. Because when the pebble is dropped, you never know how far the ripple is going to go. But if the pebble is never dropped, the ripple cannot occur. And you and I, with the little things in our hearts and in our minds and our souls, we can drop those pebbles and the world will be different. I know the power of little things because Jesus took two little things, a cup of wine and a loaf of bread, and made of them symbols of our lives forever. He took two little things, and this day, more than 2,000 years later, we still celebrate what started with those two little things. Elmo and Tony have it right. Little things can become great. And God trusts us with the little things. There's a commercial about what's in your wallet. But I ask you this day, what's in your hand? What's in your heart? What little thing will you do? Not for me, not for Tony or for Elmo, but for the one who invites you to the table, set with little things, that we might grow strong, that we might know power, that we might take our little things into the world, and the world, because of your little things, will never be the same. God said it. I believe it. Amen.